The ongoing conflict in the Israeli-occupied West Bank is exacerbating an already serious shortage of a precious commodity, water. From Beit Farik on the West Bank, NPR's Anne Garrels has this report.
The 12,000 residents of Beit Farik are thirsty. Like almost half the 500 Palestinian communities in the West Bank, they have no tap water. Traditionally, people here lived off rainwater collected during the winter. But as the population has grown and the livestock increased, that's no longer enough. They now depend on tankers to bring in water. But Israel's efforts to stop attacks and round up militants have paralyzed traffic in the West Bank. After negotiations, Israel agreed it would allow 10 tanker trucks a day to cross over into nearby Nablus, where there's treated water available. But this is way below the World Health Organization's accepted water intake for the community. And more often than not, the tankers are blocked. 39-year-old Yusuf Hanani drives a tanker. He's waited for hours to get through the checkpoint. Today, there will be no water for Beit Farik. Munjed Sadek, the deputy mayor of Beit Farik, speaks through an interpreter.
The agreement is one, and what the soldiers allow is another. Every 10 days, they've been allowing one tank, two tanks to bring water.
The only alternative is to drive 25 miles to another source if the roads are open. And there, the water is twice as expensive and it's polluted. The U.S. government reports this area is suffering from a high incidence of water-related gastrointestinal problems. 30-year-old Mohammed goes house to house to see if anyone has any spare water. <laughs> 19-year-old Ayat Isam gives him three bottles of water. She says her family's among the fortunate ones because it has a large cistern. Ayat wants to become a lawyer to fight what she believes is Israeli injustice. Others here in Beit Farik have taken up weapons. In the past few months, militants have attacked the nearby Jewish settlement of Itamar, killing seven. The last incident involved an elderly Palestinian armed with a knife. He slightly injured two settlers before he was shot. Villagers say his only motivation was desperation. Nahav Atif Hatatbi is one of the few chicken farmers still in business here, but he too is desperately short of water and feed. And even if his chickens survive, he's no way to get his produce to market because of the checkpoints. He says he's damned every way he turns. And when villagers here turn toward the hills overlooking the village, they see the Israeli settlement of Itamar, with its green lawns, flower gardens, and swimming pools. This just inflames hatred of Jewish settlers even more and reinforces the perception Israel is trying to starve them out. Ihab Barghouti, a senior official with the Palestinian Water Authority, was reached by phone.
Each settler has a daily share of 350 liters, whereas the Palestinians, they have less than 30 liters per day.
From 67 to 94, when Israel was in charge of the civil administration for the West Bank, all the Jewish settlements were supplied with running water, but only half the Palestinian communities had tap water. In 94, when the Palestinian Authority began to assume control under the Oslo Accords, they tried to improve the water situation. But under Oslo, the Israelis would only allow the Palestinians to develop wells in the eastern portion of the West Bank, far from villages like Beit Farik. And even then, Barghouti says, there were problems. He says Israel has shown it is not keen on having Palestinians advance like the Israeli settlements.
Therefore, the permitting process was a very tedious process and a very frustrating process.
The U.S. is now helping to develop an existing well in the area of Beit Farik, but the supply will be small, and the village will continue to have to depend on tankers and checkpoints. Anne Garrels, NPR News, Beit Farik.